Support for the leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airports, offering seasonal nonstop service to Denver. Outdoor concerts, hiking, and more activities in the Mile High City are one flight away on Frontier Airlines. Close, convenient, CIRA. More at CIRA.com.
Bloomington's two big venues downtown are showing signs of a turnaround. That's one of the things you need to know to start your day for Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff. Now let's lead off with the latest from Dick Durbin after a visit to Normal. WGLT's Lindsay Jones has more.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says there's little to celebrate about the weekend passage of six funding bills that avoided a government shutdown. The Senate voted early Saturday morning to pass a $1.2 trillion government funding bill, breaching a midnight deadline. The bill passed the House earlier Friday and effectively funds the full government through September.
Despite a heroic effort, it took much longer than it ever should have. This used to be routine. This used to be assumed. Now we have press releases and press conferences to tell America the good news. We've avoided another crisis.
The Illinois Democrat also says he believes a case the U.S. Supreme Court will take up today is a political ploy. The court is set to hear a case on whether the Food and Drug Administration correctly approved mifepristone more than two decades ago. That medication is the only drug approved for terminating pregnancies.
I happen to believe that they're safe and effective, and they've proven that in decades of availability to women across America. I think this is a politically inspired effort to undermine a woman's right to make reproductive choices.
A lower court already issued a ruling to revoke the FDA's approval, a move that would restrict how the medication is delivered and distributed. Durbin gave the comments during a Monday celebration of Normal Mayor Chris Koos's long-awaited confirmation to the Amtrak Board of Directors. Koos was confirmed to the board in January, and of eight members on the board, Koos is the only one from the Midwest. I'm Lindsay Jones.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Kent Carriker, the former mayor of Normal, has died. He was mayor for a decade and stepped down in 2003 because of health issues. Carriker's emphasis on debt reduction enabled the town to later make a big investment in Uptown. The Challenger Learning Center at Heartland Community College will host a solar eclipse viewing party. That's from 1 to 2:30 on April 8th. It is free, but registration's required. It gets you a free pair of solar viewing glasses. And the McLean County Fair is looking for candidates to become fair royalty this summer. An informational meeting for kids who are interested is set for April 10th at the fair office in Bloomington. You can find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Bloomington's arts department is showing signs of a turnaround. A string of sold-out shows at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts came before the ink was dry on a 20-year agreement with the new Bloomington Bison hockey team at Grossinger Motors Arena. Director of Arts and Entertainment Anthony Nelson oversees both, entering that newly created role with a strict mandate. The beleaguered venues, owned and operated by the city of Bloomington, needed to start turning a profit. If the past few months are any indication, they're on their way. The BCPA reported a 335% increase in attendance so far this year compared with the start of 2023. But in this conversation with WGLT's Lauren Warnke, Nelson doesn't discount the role that luck plays in their recent successes.
We'll always say luck has a part to do with everything.
Yeah.
Getting to know the community and what they want, you know, it's probably more spend money and they will come. I think they've always been hesitant in the past, like a Lee Bryce show. I think they would have just said, oh, that's awful expensive. Well, if you sell it out, it's not that expensive. Things like that, knowing where to spend the money and know what people are wanting to consume after COVID, because it's much different than it was 4 years ago. Comedy has done okay there, but it's never been a big seller. And I think everybody just wants to laugh after the last 3 or 4 years. So comedy has been just absolutely killing it. I mean, the three sellouts, the last three comedy shows have been sellouts. Bored Teachers, Charlie Barron, and Trailer Park Tammy. All very different audiences, all three sold out.
It's such a good point. And that negotiating that, like, what people want, sometimes what people want is more expensive to book.
100%. And some of the bigger acts that come through, and I get it. I have kids. I took my daughter to Annie on a school night and I paid for it in the morning, but she's still talking about it to this day. So the one grumpy morning was well worth the trip to Annie on a Tuesday night. And sometimes for us to afford that show, it's got to have to be Monday, Tuesday. We don't have the size of theater to bring in traveling Broadway on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because the tickets just wouldn't be affordable.
You've been in the job about a year now,
yeah, about
right?
a year and a half. Yeah.
As an observer, a layperson on the outside, you announced the season and a lot of the stuff that's really been super successful came after the fact. So have you been able to kind of get out in front of it yet and plan a little bit further ahead now that you have more information, a little more staff?
Yep. And it's still going to be the same way. We still have a season to announce, but we have still left money and dates in the budget to get some of these bigger shows as they route through. Again, that's how they get a little bit cheaper. A Lee Bryce that shows up 3 months before it's going to happen because they decide, hey, I want to go on an acoustic tour. We want to make sure we leave some money and some dates to be able to get shows like that that we wouldn't have normally been able to pull off.
So a lot of the success has been at the BCPA. Mm-hmm. You also had a big announcement with the Bison, Bloomington Bison going to Grossinger. There was a strategy by combining these two venues that it would create more efficiency, like one staff. Mm-hmm. Two budgets, I assume?
Yep, two different budgets.
But these are ultimately completely different animals to manage.
Correct. The staff where it does share are the parts where it does have a lot of overlap. We have one box office manager. She can build shows for both Arena and the BCPA without any problems. Marketing can handle marketing both venues. But we have operations staff that's separate at both venues. Production staff is shared. But again, a lot of that is a lot of the same work, just, you know, the roof's higher. And there's been a lot of shows where the arena's too big. Hey, well, we have a theater that's 1,100 seats. Can we, you know, maybe scale down the show and move it over there? Now it's getting more wins at the arena. We put in offers all the time. Obviously, that's a lot more competitive because sometimes with theater shows, they'll play Springfield, Peoria, Bloomington, and Champaign all within a 24-month period, where if a big act comes through, they want to play one of those arenas, maybe two. So you got to be a little more aggressive and try to convince them that this is the better market.
On the day-to-day, does it feel more efficient?
You know, I'm sure staff at times, and I know staff are like, we need a few more people here and there, and we're, you know, doing our best to do it with some part-time staff. It's hard getting enough security, ushers, food and beverage staff. So everybody's sliced a little bit thin, but I think the day-to-day of watching people walk out with a smile on their face, it does at the end of a long day go, oh, that was worth it.
You can hear more of Lauren Warnke's conversation with Director of Arts and Entertainment, Anthony Nelson, on Sound Ideas today at 5. Before we let you go, the Connect Transit Board meets today at 4:30 at the agency's Wiley Drive headquarters. On the agenda is approval of next year's budget and a review of a draft strategic plan. And that's it for today. I'm Ryan Denham. Thanks to our producer, Rosalie Trubach. You can subscribe to The Leadoff on the NPR app or wherever you listen.